From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament, currently dealing with 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in a single message. 1st John forms the last of the general epistles. 2nd and 3rd John are short letters which serve to illustrate the main argument of the first epistle, although they each have their own particular emphasis. 1 John is mainly concerned with tests of true Christianity and ways that believers in Jesus Christ may be assured of their salvation. True Christians have fellowship with God in Christ, a fellowship which reveals the believer and God have something in common. As we'll see, both are satisfied with Christ. The Savior and his people are graciously united, sharing in his merits. In addition, true believers have the Holy Spirit abiding in them, teaching and guiding them. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly to continue a message entitled, Christian Profession Tested and Proved. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, He Lowers to Raise. The text is 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 7. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. All my changes come from him who never changes. If I had grown rich, I should have seen his hand in it, and I should have praised him. Let me equally see his hand if I am made poor, and let me as heartily praise him. When we go down in the world, it is of the Lord, and so we may take it patiently. When we rise in the world, it is of the Lord, and we may accept it thankfully. In any case, the Lord hath done it, and it is well. It seems that Jehovah's way is to lower those whom he means to raise, and to strip those whom he intends to clothe. If it is his way, it is the wisest and best way. If I am now enduring the bringing low, I may well rejoice, because I see in it the preface to the lifting up. The more we are humbled by grace, the more we shall be exalted in glory. That impoverishment which will be overruled for our enrichment is to be welcomed. O Lord, thou hast taken me down of late and made me feel my insignificance and sin. It is not a pleasant experience, but I pray thee make it a profitable one to me. Oh, that thou wouldst thus fit me to bear a greater weight of delight and of usefulness. And when I am ready for it, then grant it to me, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Strong.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs at freepres.org. That's ltbs at freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
God has given of His Spirit, and the Holy Spirit abides within the believer. And because you have the Holy Spirit, you know all things. The all things are the all things of the gospel. You don't need anything beyond the gospel. This is a message, my friend, we would need to have recirculated in our churches today, in the day when people are telling you the gospel's good enough to get saved by, but you need psychology to live by. You need psychology in order to be a good counselor and all this sort of rubbish. You need to become an expert in the schools of worldly philosophy in order to tell God's people how to live. The Holy Ghost says the very opposite. You have an unction of the Holy One. You have an anointing of the Holy Spirit. You don't need anything beyond the gospel. God has taught you everything you need for life, for death, and for eternity. You don't need Christ plus something else. You need Christ. And when God tells you of the incarnation, the virgin birth, the sinless life, the perfect obedience, the atoning death, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, His current intercession, His coming again in glory, our justification by grace through faith, our acceptance with God, our peace with God. When God tells you all these things, my friend, He's telling you, these are the all things. And these are the things that you know. And there is no, understand this, there is no knowledge in the world superior to the knowledge of the gospel. I would to God, God's people would get a grip of that. Sure, there are other things you've got to study. Some of you study accountancy. Some of you study languages. Some of you have to study computers. Some of you have to study engineering. Sure. Those are legitimate fields of study. But let me say, even there, remember there is no knowledge in the world superior to the knowledge of the gospel. Here's our fellowship then, with God in Christ, on the merits of the blood of the Lamb, with His seed and life remaining within us, and His Spirit teaching and guiding and directing. Now, this fellowship with God is very clearly marked. Anybody can claim to have it, but it has certain marks. In chapter 1, verse 3, you'll notice you may have fellowship with us. With us. Look at chapter 4 and verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Now the apostle is speaking as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's saying, those who know God hear the apostles. In other words, the fellowship that we have with God is biblical. What's the first thing we read of the new converts? In Acts 2 and 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the very first thing. Fellowship with God is always biblical. If you take these three epistles of John, I'm not going to do your homework for you, but I do advise you when you look through them to emphasize just how often he speaks of the truth. Let me point out the second and third epistles. Now, they're just so brief. In the second epistle, verse 1, the truth. Again, verse 1, the truth. Verse 2, the truth. Verse 3, the truth. Verse 4, the truth. Same emphasis in the next little epistle. And, of course, the same emphasis in this very first chapter of the first epistle. You see, you can't have fellowship with God unless it's biblical. Again, this is a very up-to-date message. I have heard people claim all sorts of fellowship with God. And they have used their claim of fellowship to validate all sorts of ideas. One of the great notions of the modern charismatics is their word of knowledge and their word of prophecy. And they start to talk some of the greatest garbage in the world. And they claim it's true because I have fellowship with God. This is where it's coming from. I told you some time ago of a leading charismatic evangelist and healer, at least claimed healer, who said that instead of having a Holy Trinity, you have nine of them. For Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are each a Trinity. You have nine of them. Those were his words. That's blasphemy. I've heard them argue, the same preacher with another, arguing vehemently that God, from all eternity, God essentially has a material body. That's blasphemy. The latest effort of this sensationalist coming out of his professed fellowship with God is that Adam was a superman who could fly intergalactically. He didn't need a spaceship. He just flew here and there through space as he wished. He was Superman. How can he say this? Well, I'm having fellowship with God. He's a liar. A liar. And that's not my word. That's the Bible's word here, as I'll show you in a moment. Because our fellowship must be biblical to be anything real. Not only is it biblical, it's joyful. Verse 4. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Fellowship with God is joyful. The Bible knows nothing of that dismal religion that most Christians think is Christianity. I know that the Bible has a lot to say about the sorrows and the tears of God's people, about the persecution they endure, about the pain they have to suffer, about the dark passages of life that they have to walk through. The Bible knows all about the pains that so often crush the hearts of the people of God. The Bible also teaches a joy in Christ that is unspeakable and full of glory. A joy that is there even though the circumstances of life seem so bleak. There is a fullness of joy that nothing in this world can take away when a man knows God is our Father. Christ is my Savior. The blood has made propitiation for me. The Holy Spirit abides within me. I am in living fellowship with the living God, and heaven is my home. Not a thing that hell can do about it. I want to tell you, my friend, that gives joy. John says, I'm writing these things unto you. I want you to understand you have a biblical fellowship with God in Jesus Christ. And if you understand that, it will produce joy. Furthermore, it's progressive. The longer you live with a person, the longer you get to know them. The more you get to know them. And while it's not always true in human terms that the more you get to know a person, the more there is to love about that person. Sometimes, unfortunately, the opposite's true. The more you get to know them, the more reprehensible they become. But when you're dealing with God, the more you get to know the Lord, the deeper your love for the Lord. And that's why he says, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Do you notice the very important distinction, the difference in the verb? God doesn't walk in light. Walking speaks of progression. God is in the light. Period. But we walk in the light. Our fellowship with God should be progressive. And then it should be holy. It should be pure. Because verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. As you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, you will know the constant cleansing of the precious blood of the Lamb. Now here then is the great truth of this epistle. God has established his people in a real fellowship with him through Christ. But the second thing is that this fellowship produces true godliness. Now let me run through this very quickly. This is something we have noted in most of these general epistles. This is really the message of James in different words. Sinful living and fellowship with God do not go together. There were some people in John's day who were professing deep fellowship, but they were wicked both in doctrine and in practice. And he calls them deceivers and antichrists. Let's learn this. Sinful living and fellowship with God do not go together. In this first epistle, John goes to great lengths to expose this false profession. 7 times in the epistle he says, if we say or he that saith. On the one occasion, if a man say, seven times you have this test of religious profession. As each one of us stands before these texts of Scripture, the supreme question is whether our teaching and behavior are consistent with each other. Whether what we believe and what we do are self-consistent, and whether they are both consistent with the apostolic proclamation that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now here are the seven tests. As you look at them, you'll be able to see the perverse claims of the deceivers. Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Well, you have these things just as real today as they were in John's day. Let me quickly run through these seven great ifs so that you'll see the claims of these deceivers. Verse 6 of chapter 1, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Here's their first perverse claim. Sin doesn't hinder my fellowship with God. I have fellowship with God, but I walk in darkness. John says, he's a liar. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, they're saying indeed, we don't even have this guilty, fallen nature that these Bible-thumping preachers are talking about. We're not intrinsically evil and wicked by nature. John again says, he's a liar. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Here they're saying, my actions are not sinful anyway. I have not sinned. The things that you're defining as sin, the things that the Bible defines as sin, they are not sin. Let's not talk in terms of sin. This was actually one of the great focal points of doctrine of this blossoming school of philosophy. In the one hand, they made everything that was material intrinsically evil, but they so separated the spiritual from the material, the soul from the body, that we're not responsible for anything the body does. So therefore, no matter what I do, I'm not sinning. A very neat little package to allow them to get on with their wickedness while comforting themselves that they were having fellowship with God. Again, John says he's a liar, the man that says that. Then chapter 2, verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Here's the next claim. I do know God, even though I disobey him. Even though I'm living in habitual disobedience to God, I know God. Again, John says he's a liar. Verse 6 of chapter 2, he that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. The claim behind that is, I do live in Christ. I have life, even though my lifestyle is in no way like his. Verse 9, the claim is, I walk in God's light. I live in God's light, should I say. I am in God's light, even though I am actually walking in darkness. And again, John says, he's a liar. Chapter 4, verse 20. The claim there is, I love God, but I hate my brother. And again, John says, he's a liar.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info at faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.